Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, we're all well aware that South Africa as an economy has a strong drive to ensure that there's equitable distribution of opportunities, work opportunities, and of course, wealth within the economy through various means. And this is where the BBBE codes, broad-based black economic empowerment, codes for various sectors, industries, and also company structures to make sure that they are aligned in making more opportunities available to those who fall under the definition of broad-based black economic empowerment. That's management structures in businesses, ownership, management and control, of course, enterprise and supply development. And one such company that continues to face a lot of criticism about its lack or slow levels of transformation has to be Dis-Chem. From an AGM, it was reported that the management of the company faced ongoing criticism and had to respond to questions regarding the slow pace at which its leadership structures are attempting to ensure that there is black representation. Currently, none of that exists at an executive management level, and only 14% of its senior management and top management are made up of individuals who are black. To give us some perspective now on, I guess, the difficulties of transformation in business and how else we can encourage businesses to prioritize these codes, we join on the line by a good friend of the station, Israel Noko, CEO at NPI Governance Consulting, an individual who's very passionate about equitable growth in Africa and economic transformation and reforms. Mr. Noko, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Yes, good evening, Gogo, and good evening to all your listeners.
Thank you so much for making time. I'm so intrigued. Looking at Dis-Chem, this is not the first time that they find themselves making headlines due to criticism around the lack of transformation in the business.
Well, yes, certainly. This is probably the most uneasy time for Dis-Chem, particularly when it comes to, you know, dealing with all their different stakeholders. And I think that the CEO is obviously in a very tricky situation right now because, you know, on one side of the fence, he's trying to kind of push a very clear agenda that the government has been pushing for the last 30 years, whilst at the other time he's trying to push for business growth and to make sure that, you know, they try and make sure that they bring in the right type of people in the organization. But I think that there's some lessons to be learned, and I think, you know, one has to go back to the drawing board, and that's the task that this management team has to do, is to really go back to the drawing board and to reflect on some of the things, you know, that might not obviously be working for them.
And you raise such an important point. Number one, business is trying to prioritize profitability. Government is trying to prioritize transformation. Can both coexist?
Well, listen, I'm of the opinion that it can, but maybe I'm just an idealistic way. I've got an idealistic way of thinking about these things. But I think, you know, there's a few things that I think, you know, over the last 30 years being in transformation that we can certainly have learned from. And I think the first thing is that when we look at transformation, specifically when we're looking at diversity and inclusion, we now need to move that out of HR departments because traditionally speaking, you know, HR departments have been the departments that have been driving for transformation and for, you know, inclusion and diversity in these organizations. But the reality is that in an environment where, you know, those are deemed to be essentially cost centers as opposed to profit centers, you know, they're very much limited in their ability to do what they want to do. And usually when it's a case of cutting down on costs, well, that's the first place that is usually going to be experiencing some cutbacks is in the HR department. And therefore, you know, initiatives such as diversity and inclusion then, you know, take the back seat. And therefore, it stops being at the forefront of the organization and then it's dropped down somewhere where we address until, you know, profitability then obviously is in a much more stable base. So I think that's the first thing that we need to acknowledge. And then I think the second thing we also need to acknowledge is that, you know, gone are the days that we now need to, you know, we need to look at South Africa and corporate South Africa as a mosaic rather than as a melting pot. You know, I think the melting pot was very much of a dream in the early days of our democracy. But the reality is that we are a nation of different races, different cultural backgrounds, different languages, different points of views, with different generational gaps. And the reality is that, you know, we are all going to be very, very different. And I think it's about time that we face that reality that, you know, we're not a melting pot as a nation, but rather we're a mosaic. And that mosaic can be as beautiful as one wants to create it to be, but it does require some work.
Mm-hmm. What I am intrigued by, again, looking at the Dis-Chem example, is the fact that back in October of 2022, the chairman wrote a letter to staff essentially saying that, hold on, we're going to hold off of employing white individuals. 2021, if I'm not mistaken, they did sell about a 10% stake to a local BBBE investor in a deal there in order to make sure that they have equity stake. And the truth about transformation, as you say, it's a mosaic. But it also speaks to different levels of transformation. There's management and control, ownership, of course, enterprise and supply development. There's this multi-pronged approach, essentially, that entities can take. Are we finding that perhaps it's too difficult to manage the multiplicity of approaches that can be used to drive transformation?
Well, you know, some companies that have been doing it very, very seriously and very progressively and very deliberately at the strategic level of the organizations have actually achieved their targets. My sense right now is that, you know, organizations and, you know, some organizations are late adopters. And therefore, you know, when you are a late adopter, you know, you tend to kind of do things on a very knee-jerk reaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that letter I think that the CEO, you know, probably would have sent to his management team was as a result of a knee-jerk reaction, wanting to respond in light of an environment that was very, very fast changing. And, you know, that's just what happens when you knee-jerk, you know, very, very quickly without, you know, being aware of what's going on in the room there. So my advice now, you know, to our client, to our friend over here, is that they really need to kind of really think back as to where does the company want to position itself? Do they want to position themselves for recognition, mm-hmm. or they're positioning for themselves for respect? And, you know, I think that's the key thing that, you know, when you're embarking upon diversity programs, transformation programs, you're not doing it simply because it's the right thing to do and you get the level one status there, but you're really doing it primarily because people ultimately will invest in you, will back you up, will acknowledge your brand, primarily because you are a respectable brand.
Definitely. And that's important, especially given the kind of environment that we come from in South Africa, respecting that, yes, you know, capitalism is grown and established over decades, but we do need to understand the societal impact here that is required. On that note, Israel, as we wrap up, this has always been the issue at hand. Many have come forward to say, nah, the codes aren't working. We need to scrap BE and relook it. Others are saying, hold on, there are other ways of actually providing incentives versus punishment to ensure that businesses do comply. What's your take on it?
Okay, I'm going to be very, very blunt with you. Mm-hmm. BE is going to be here to stay for a very, very long time. And if we're not going to call it BE, we're probably going to call it something else, because the nation's objectives and priorities at the moment are really, really too critical. What we're focusing on right now is job creation and as well as making sure that we alleviate poverty and try and create a sustainable, you know, competent state. So the reality is that the BE codes as we know it do address those. But the fact of the matter is that what we do know that has been the norm has not really been implemented properly. So the real acid test is, you know, how are we going to strengthen our institutions as well as bring along the private sector, you know, to make sure that this is done well? And I think that the new Minister for Trade and Industry obviously has a very, very big task on his hands. And I think we are going to have to wait and see what he's from his last, you know, address in Parliament, what he is likely to come forth with. So I would say to most corporate South Africans that, you know, for the next foreseeable 10 years, 15 years, that we'll probably have the BE legislation in place, primarily because it's very, very difficult to unbundle that. And by virtue of the fact that we're still trying to address a number of different challenges in our country, you know, we're still going to have this probably very much a reality as a part of doing business in South Africa. You know, other countries are doing it. Countries like the India, China, the United States, France. You know, you go to those countries, they do have one form of BE, and therefore, you know, I don't think South Africa is going to be the exception.
100%, and definitely an imperative for any economy to make sure that its people are adequately participate in the investment that is driven there. Thank you so much for your time, as always, Mr. Noko. Truly appreciate it.
My pleasure, and have a good evening.
And to you too. That's Israel Nogo, CEO at NPI Governance Consulting, helping us make sense of why it is that we continue to see big businesses struggle with implementing transformation, especially at top management, but also given the various codes that are used. There's a number of companies that continue to be, referenced as case studies in terms of either lack of compliance or resistance or not fully comprehending how they can actively participate. You might recall a business formerly known as NetOne, now called Lesaka, and now Dis-Chem, also featuring in the headlines here.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.